Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 20, I'm sorry, 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. This is something that I preach on from time to time because it's something that we really need. And the verse says it right here as we get into it, "For ye have need of patience." Well, that's a good reason to preach on this verse.
Yes.
You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So, after you've done the will of God, doesn't mean you're going to receive the promise immediately, does it? This doesn't happen that way. The definition of patience is very clear that there's a waiting time. I think I mentioned the other day, you know, in Spanish, the word for patience is the same word as wait.
Yes.
So, patience involves waiting. I want to read you another verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's just a couple of pages over, but I'll read it to you here. "Wherefore," it's familiar, "seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Run with patience the race. I looked up this morning, there's 40-some-odd references to patience in the Bible. 40 of them are in the New Testament, I think, and like 3 in the Old Testament. Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Because you'd think under the New Covenant, after what we've studied here, things would be moving at a faster pace. But faith and patience are mentioned together in the same verse like 10 times in the New Testament. If patience and faith go together, you can see it as you read and study about it. What is patience? Well, here's what Webster's 1828 dictionary says. It says, "The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper." All right, so let's take a test this morning. How many of you pass that test when you get in your car and take off down the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't get ruffled. A calm, unruffled temper when you're provoked. Huh? How many of you passed the test in your home? I mean, if we ask the husbands here, how many of their wives had patience? If that's the definition of it. I can't look at faces. Well, what if we asked the wives how many of the husbands had patience? I might have to turn around backwards here. It means endurance without murmuring or fretfulness, worrying. Endurance. You just endure. You just keep on. Steady. You don't waver and wobble. Patience. Let's understand what it means here. Patience may spring from just your constitutional fortitude. You just make up your mind you're going to do it. You know, like you do so many other things. I'll just do it. I'll just gird up myself and I'll just do it. I'm going to be patient. You just do it because that's the thing to do. Like a heroic pride. Or it might be from Christian submission to the divine will. Now that's what we're after here this morning. You know, we don't want you just... If you just do it because that's the thing to do, that's not really patience. Because faith is not involved in it. Real patience has faith involved in it.
Yes.
It's the ingredient that's missing. And the other kind of patience is not steady. It's not consistent. It's not always there. I mean, might be patient today, but tomorrow. Or this morning, might be patient. Seem patient, but then tonight it's like, whoa. Almost like getting bit by a snake. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. How long can you wait without just getting miserable? If you're miserable while you wait, you don't have patience. Patience is, you know, patient. There's a verse in the Bible, I've preached on it before. Patiently enduring with joy. You do it with joy, not with anxiety and not with frustration. If all that's there, you're not really patient. You know, it's a lack of patience, which speaks of a lack of faith. Just don't forget that. It means perseverance, constancy, and labor or exertion. Perseverance. The quality of being, of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. The Bible says in Psalm 119:165, I'll bet you somebody here knows that verse, don't you? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you have faith in God, guess what else you're going to have? Patience. And it's a thing that God works in you. We know that. I've got so many verses to read here, and one of them is this famous verse that we all know. What worketh patience? Tribulation. It really does. Well, we have some things to say about that here in a minute, but I told you I was going to try to hurry. Not easily provoked. Calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses. Not revengeful. You don't snap if somebody pokes at you. Mm-hmm. Your tongue has a bridle on it. And so does your temper. And your spirit doesn't get all agitated over what other people say, what they do. I mean, patience is a pretty good thing to have. I think God wants us to have it. It's in the Bible all over the place. And then one more thing. Not hasty, not over eager or impetuous, waiting or expecting with calmness and without discontent. Just calm. It's one of the primary products and evidences of true saving faith. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Bible says this. Jesus said, but that on the good ground, this is the parable of the sower, that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. That's right. It springs from real faith, saving faith. That on the good ground, those were the only ones that remained. Those were the only ones that persevered, that continued, that brought forth fruit. The others didn't last. It was as if they never did have any seed or never did sprout. This one brought forth fruit, but it didn't happen immediately. See? This deal is not the instant stuff of our day. That's not the way the work of God is. Nothing that God does is that way. When judgment comes, it comes in an instant. When Jesus comes for His church, it's going to happen in an instant. But boy, we've waited a long time for it, haven't we? The saints of God have waited for a long time for that. Patience. Patience. Here's the faith and patience of the saints. You read over in Revelation toward the end. Patience is first on the list of things that stand out about a Christian. And also, it's the thing that qualifies them for the service of God. If you don't have patience, you're just really not much good in the work of God. Now, that's kind of harsh because everybody, we're always accusing one another. You don't have any patience. Is that right?
Yes.
We're always in a hurry, aren't we?
Yes.
We want to see things happen right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much, say it,
patience.
In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. I mean, the first qualification, first thing, what is it? Patience. Well, there's no way you can have anything to do in the work of God if you don't have some patience. You got to have patience with people. You have to have patience with God. Because God doesn't do things at our pace. It happens slowly. Everything always does. Just get that in your mind to start with. You know, the apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. It says this, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now we read that and say, oh, signs and wonders and mighty deeds, yes. But patience is the first word that was mentioned. It takes patience. What does patience mean? It means to wait. It means waiting with faith and happy while you wait.
Yes.
And not upset and agitated and impatient and irritated. I don't usually do this, but let me read you a little story here. This is unusual for me, but it's really, it makes the point. An official of a mission board who knew it takes more than desire to make a missionary was appointed to examine a candidate. He told the young man to come to his house at 6 o'clock in the morning. The young man went at 6 in the morning to be examined, and the examiner kept him sitting in the room until 10. Then he went down to him and said abruptly, "Can you write your name? Do you know what your name is?" You know, sarcastic. "Yes, sir." So he put him through a series of questions of that kind, and then went to the mission board and said, "He will do." I tried his patience for 4 hours, and he didn't break down. I then insulted him, and he didn't lose his temper. He'll do. If a man answers all abuses with magnanimity, you know what I'm saying. Patience, fortitude, and gentleness, you can depend upon it. Christ's love has conquered his heart. His Christianity is vindicated by the very quality of his character, which is shown by patience. Yeah, that's right. You ever think God might be testing your patience?
No, often.
I mean, if a mission board director can do that, don't you think God knows how to do that too? It's the first thing that you're tested for after you're saved. I've said this to you before, but it's something that has to be developed in our life and we must strive for it. It's the first thing that's tested after you're saved. People will try your patience. They'll provoke you to see. They want to see you react. And then they'll say, "Ha!" It's the one thing that they will judge you as a fake for if you don't have patience. If they can just keep poking at you until you snap at them, then they'll say. It's something that's developed in our life, and it's part of is our responsibility to strive for it. Do you desire patience? Do you really desire patience? Or do you desire patience? Do you desire other people to have patience more than you desire yourself to have patience? It's what we call a virtue. Now, what's a virtue?
Strength.
It's a strength, yes. It is produced by tribulation, which is the trial of your faith.
Yes.
See? When you're tempted, tried. It is the trial of your faith. And it shows up with the patience that is shown in your life. It's visible. It's a product and a result of faith that works. For Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Now that sounds to me like a Christian ought to desire patience and be willing to endure whatever he must to obtain it.
That's right.
Obtain it for real in his life. Where he can take stuff without throwing a fit.
Exactly, yes, sir.
Yep. I've heard so-called Christians all my life talk about how they got a hot temper and they just can't help it because their mother was a red-headed Irish woman, you know, or something like that. And say that stuff.
Yes, they will.
There is nothing to that. That's a bunch of baloney.
Yes, sir.
We can all have patience, and that fly needs to go because that'll just have to call off service if he don't go away because y'all worrying about him. James chapter 1, verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Trying of your faith works patience. You got to think about this stuff. I'm just telling you one thing after another, and if you don't go keep it and think about it, you're not going to understand the thing what I'm talking about. But it really is that way. So if we have a problem with patience, we have a problem with our faith. I feel like Obama standing here. So if we have a... You hear me? If we have a problem with our patience, we have a problem with our faith. We do. We need to examine ourselves. See if we be in the faith. Glass water.
Yeah.
Patience keeps you from being controlled. Did you get him?
Hallelujah.
Good. Praise the Lord. Leave it to Elizabeth. All right. Come back.
Yep.
Patience keeps you from being controlled by the devil or someone or something else. Because Jesus said this in Luke 21, verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. You got to think on that. I can't deal with this without taking too long. But in your patience possess ye your souls. Yeah. It takes patience to maintain yourself in the right realms. I talked in Sunday school about the world and about crossing fences and all of that stuff. And it takes effort on our part. God doesn't do all that for us. He helps us. And it's through His grace enables us and guides us. But we have to do some of it ourselves. I mean, there's some things that have to be done in our soul. We have to choose. And we have to depart from certain things and people and places. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Trials, like we talked about Wednesday night, troubles and things that come in our life are the weak place where the devil works on us in our minds. Mm-hmm. And so that all involves patience, see? Patience. You gotta have patience in your trouble.
Yes, sir.
Wait, it'll pass. It'll be over. We've all talked about it, you know. I mean, Dad, I remember Grandpa saying it, you know, something awful done broke, or this looked like that's all she wrote, we're done. Yeah, it ain't going to make no difference in 100 years from now, so. You got to have the long look. If you have a long look, you'll have more patience. So, the devil and all those who would seek to control you depend on your impatience to do so.
Right.
Did you ever study the temptation of Christ? And there's a lot of things to say about it, but here's the thing that I have seen in all of the three temptations that are mentioned there. It was simply a shortcut around the will of God.
Yes.
For Jesus to have what He desired without, you know, like, I took Him up to the pinnacle of the temple and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all these I'll give to you if you'll just bow down and worship Me. Mm-hmm. When you study that out, it was a way for Jesus to have the worship of the world without the cross. Mm-hmm. And but see, that He rejected that.
Yes, He did.
It's a shortcut. Impatience. We don't want to wait. We want it now. And we want it to happen now. We want to see results now. Takes a long time. You know, I said this when we started. It takes a long time. A church ought to grow slow if it's a real church. These things that just blow up all of a sudden, they disappear the same way. I've watched it all through the years. We bought some chickens one time. They were Cornish cross. Hey, you know, 6 weeks, man, you can butcher them and eat them. Well, yeah, you can, but I think one of them died before it got to 6 weeks. Another, and when you looked at that thing, you didn't want to eat it. I mean, they were so abnormal. And see, they had tweaked everything on them chickens to where they just grow like, and, you know, a lot of them die. They just have heart attacks and stuff because it's so unnatural to grow like that. You know, people that grow into giants. I've seen pictures and read stories and all through my life, and I've known a few that, like when they were 12 years old, they were 6 feet tall. And those people have problems. And they almost always die young because it's not normal. It's not natural. It's not right. Growth is slow. I've seen people, when I was a kid, I was always little. Littler than everybody else. Well, I'm not now. I got an uncle that he was the same way now, but he turned into a great big guy every way. But it happened slowly. It happened slowly. He grew at a slow rate. People lack patience. If they're littler than everybody else, they want to grow fast. And, you know, they're impatient. No faith, no hope for the future that things will be any different. The natural man wants what he wants now. That's what lust really is. It says, I must have it and I must have it now. That's what lust is. No matter what the consequences, no matter what happens, I must have it now. That's the way the natural man is. Well, a child of God that's born again, a new creature in Christ, he's not to have that nature. So what is the difference? What's the thing that makes the difference there between that old man who's led by his lust, which says, I must have it now, and the new man, which is created after God? Patience. He can wait. He can wait. And he can wait with joy and happiness and contentment. Wait, knowing and trusting in God for the future. Patience is the ability to deny your present desires and wait. It's a thing that's really lacking in young people, and that's why young people get in trouble so much. All of us can testify to that. I was young one time, once upon a time, long ago and far away. Patience is not common among young people. It's much more common among older people, isn't it? As you get older, you find more and more patience. I wonder why that is. Well, let me tell you, it's day after day after day of tribulation. It teaches you patience. It produces patience. It worketh patience. And I looked up that word. It means to form it in you. To bring it to pass. It just births it in you. God's given us plenty of examples and illustrations of patience. We can look to the creation and see patience everywhere. We're forced to have patience for the harvest. Y'all got a big garden. When we went out there the other night, he said, now, we got a big garden. You'll see it. Well, yeah, I've seen the big garden. Well, some of y'all got stuff too. We got tomato plants. I haven't even looked at them in a while. They're down out of the way, and they're like, but we still don't have any tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
When did you plant them? Months ago? And we still don't have any tomatoes? I'd cut them down. I wouldn't fool with them.
Yeah, I know you're teasing.
Yeah. Elizabeth's got a bunch of tomato plants. They looking good. They got blooms, and then they got little green tomatoes, but still no tomatoes. I mean, we gotta wait, don't we?
Yes.
You gotta wait. You don't just go out to the field and take a big sack of seed out of the back of your pickup and just throw it all over the place and then come back next day looking for fruit, do you?
No.
It doesn't happen that way. No, it doesn't. No. The Bible said in James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. See, be patient to the coming of the Lord. And then he talks about the husbandman. That's a farmer. Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. In all living things, growth is very slow. Too slow to observe with our eyes. You get it. You can't look at the grass and watch it as it grows. You can't. It's imperceptible to our eyes. Now you can go look at it today, come back Tuesday, you can say, oh, look at how that grass grows. But you can't just sit and look at it and see it growing. Can you? You don't see that in the children either, do you? Just go away for 2 weeks and come back on with these little ones though, and you'll see it. You got to take your eyes off of it for a little bit before you can perceive the difference. And the increase and the change. Don't get discouraged with life because of your impatience. Realize it. It's a fact of life, and it's a fact of the creation of God. Man, you got to wait, and you got to quit staring at it. A watched pot never boils, right? That's the truth. You ever try that? Yeah, we've all tried that. We've heard that saying. We sit there and watch it, and then, boy, it's just about true, ain't it? You give up before it starts boiling. You say, "That's I'm not going to sit here and watch this all day. This is ridiculous. Wasting my time." We need to realize that is a fact. I mean, that's my point here. We just need to realize that that's a fact, that everything takes time. We can look to our spiritual ancestors as our example in James chapter 5, verse 10. "Take, my brethren," he said, "the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." Take them for an example of patience. They prophesied things and said it's going to come to pass. It took a long time. Next chapter in Hebrews tells us that they didn't even see the promises. They didn't get to, you know, and the children of Israel and the land and everything in the Bible shows this to be that way. And he said, just take them for an example of patience. So God means for us to have patience. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. You're not without patience. And if you don't, and if patience doesn't have her perfect work, if it doesn't get to the point where patience rules your life and your soul, your spirit, then you're not entire. You're not perfect. You're not mature. You're not entire. You're wanting. Because it says wanting nothing. If you let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Don't you want to be? I mean, isn't that the goal, that we come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ?
Yes, sir.
That's the goal.
Yes, sir.
Want to be like Him.
Yes, sir.
Take Him for an example of patience. How long did He wait on you? How long does He still wait on you? Aren't you glad that He has patience with you? Take Him for an example. If it weren't for His patience, where would all of us be here this morning? Wouldn't be here. Our lives wouldn't be what they are. They wouldn't have been able to sing that song a while ago about all the blessings of life. Just... and how good God is and how wonderful life is. Wouldn't have been that way if it hadn't been for His patience. Think about it. How long has God waited on this world? A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if it weren't for that fact, there wouldn't be any of us here today. And any that are here who are still lost would have no hope. There would be no hope for those out there. See, how much patience do we exercise with those that are without? What about our loved ones that are out of the way? How much patience do we exercise with them?
Yeah.
I'd say we're lacking. If we'd be honest with ourselves, we're lacking. Have you noticed that the more patience you have, the less tribulation you have? Have you noticed that?
Oh, yes,
sir. Once tribulation has produced true patience in our life, it's no longer as necessary for that. Having a hard time. Got lots of troubles. I mean, are you really frustrated? Stressed? How about having a little patience? How you get patience? Not only tribulation. Tribulation is the trial of your faith. How about just believing God?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's how you get patience. Believe God. You trust God. Patience is tied up with faith. Very much. Life will be much better for those who learn patience. I can promise you that. Never mistake, and then one more thing I want to say here. Never mistake patience for cowardice or lack of initiative. Don't let the devil lie to you and speak to your pride and tempt you like that. You hear me? Because it's nothing but your pride that the devil is speaking to if you mistake patience for cowardice or laziness or lack of initiative or backbone, if you want to put it that way.
Thank you.
You better just be thankful that guy's got patience, or he might knock your clock off.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What is patience? It's enduring provocation with a mild spirit and unprovoked. So, do y'all understand what patience is this morning, any?
Yes, sir.
Are you testing yourself to see where you rate in here? I mean, if you'd scale yourself, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in patience. This is what the world's always saying now, right? Rate your pain on scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Well, now, I don't have much confidence in that, because everybody thinks if they're hurting a little bit, they think they're dying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Some people literally are dying, and they'd say, well, maybe 6.
Yes.
And then somebody with a sore toe will say 10 plus, off the scale. How would you rate yourself this morning on patience? Think about it. Now, I can't see what you're thinking, but God can.
Yes, sir.
Are you patient? Now, remember, if you're complaining and murmuring and aggravated and frustrated, but you don't say nothing, that's not patience.
That's right.
If you just put up with it, but you're always telling everybody how aggravated you are about it, that's not patience.
Yeah, that's true.
Patience. It's a virtue. It is a Christian virtue. It's something that the Bible, I just read a few verses here this morning, but the Bible is full of it. It's something God is trying to work in your life. Why don't you just yield to Him and let Him work His perfect work in your life? Let patience have her perfect work. You think the children will be patient if we're not patient?
No, not at all.
Example is the strongest influence. They're going to learn what they see. They're going to talk to others the way they hear you talk.
That's right.
To them and to others.
Yep.
So let's have some patience. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bow with me. I pray you'll ask the Lord to help you have more patience. I will. I will do that for myself. Because sometimes it's... But the thing is, you know, the Holy Ghost of God will check you. If you'll form a habit of walking with God in the Spirit, He'll tell you. I mean, you'll feel the checks when you get it, when your spirit starts getting all flustered and aggravated, and He'll help you with it. And then the next time, it won't be so bad. I mean, you won't be so easily drawn into that. Pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. A simple message this morning, and Lord, a simple truth out of Hebrews where we're studying. I pray You'd help us to receive it this morning, all of us. This is for all of us, including me. And I pray You'd help us to be more aware of how important this is in our testimony. How patient we are. Help us, Lord, to not get all frustrated and flustered. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, not be messed up by the present circumstances that are so trivial and unimportant most of the time. And that's the tragedy of this. We'll blow our testimony over some foolish little vain thing that makes really no difference. And so, Lord, help us. Pray You draw us closer to You and help us to walk circumspectly in this matter with one another in our homes and, Lord, with those that are without that we deal with every week. Bless the Word of God to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen.